Hello, my name is Hassan Mir, and on behalf of CME Outfitters, I'd like to welcome and thank you for joining us for episode 3 of our 4-part CMO cast series titled Informed Treatment Decisions for Pain Management, Changing Habits, Improving Outcomes. And today's episode is titled Myth Busting About NSAIDs and Bone Health. And again, I'm a professor and director of the orthopedic residency program at the University of South Florida and director of orthopedic trauma research at Florida Orthopedic Institute in Tampa, Florida. And I have the pleasure of being joined today by Dr. Kevin Gebke, who's the chair of the Department of Family Medicine at Indiana University School of Medicine in Indianapolis. So, Kevin, welcome and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So our learning objective for this section will be to apply evidence and guideline recommendations that support non-opioid pain management. One of the barriers to using NSAIDs in particular with musculoskeletal injuries, in particular fractures, were a long-standing dogma that there were concerns about the deleterious effects of NSAIDs on bone healing and on fusions following elective surgery. And there's really been a mixed bag of literature out there, and it really wasn't the best science upon which this was based, but it really influenced at least the orthopedic perspective on this. Did this dogma happen to creep out into the family medicine world and the primary care world about NSAIDs and fracture healing?
It absolutely did. And it's somewhat ironic that you use the term dogma because I think it was animal studies that all of this science was based on. Certainly throughout the 90s, as I went through med school, residency, and even a sports medicine fellowship, it was really driven into the treatment paradigm that anti-inflammatories, NSAIDs, were deleterious to bone healing, and you should avoid them in patients who have fractures or any type of procedure that would require a bone healing process. So it really is part of the training programs that I've been through, and really, up until the last few years, that's been the adhered to guideline for treating fractures.
So there have been, several small retrospective clinical series and published in various orthopedic journals from around the world, and a lot of them, unfortunately, are underpowered and lumped in various conditions, whether it's fracture care or elective fusion surgeries of the spine or extremities. And even when you lump all of these together, especially if you look at the higher end studies and lump them together, the data just does not support that NSAIDs are deleterious, especially if you're using them for short duration. After a musculoskeletal injury, the data just doesn't support that there's a risk. What certainly is overwhelmingly supported by data is that opioids, when used, can easily lead to addiction, non-medical use, and death. And I think that if you're going to worry about something, I'd worry about death much more than I'd worry about non-union of a fracture. Non-union of a fracture, it occurs. It's multifactorial. There are a lot of different things that go into it. But being an orthopedic trauma surgeon who specializes in treating patients with fracture non-unions as part of my practice, even my non-union patients, I'll put a majority of them on NSAIDs when I'm treating them surgically for a non-union.
That's fairly ironic that the outcome that you're most concerned about, I think that tells me that you're very confident with the literature at this point and that NSAIDs are the safer alternative and aren't likely to delay that healing process. When we think about the biology of bone healing, ultimately it makes sense that there was a concern that NSAIDs would delay bone healing, considering they interfere with cyclooxygenase and ultimately would interfere with prostaglandin synthesis, which is a key component to bone healing. But as we mentioned, the science behind it that led to the clinical concerns hasn't held up as we've looked more closely at this. One of the things you mentioned was, you know, the fact that you're treating a high volume of patients that have fractures, and fractures all in all locations in their body. Are there certain fractures that you worry more about for developing a non-union than others?
Certainly. I think that there are, I think that if you have open fractures and patients with other comorbidities involved, like a bad diabetic who is a smoker who has a bad open fracture of the distal tibia, maybe then you might have some pause in that they already have multiple risk factors and you may not want to use an NSAID. But in general, for bone considerations, there's very few times that I don't use an NSAID. Now, there are certainly medical considerations, which, you know, I depend on my family medicine and internal medicine colleagues to help kind of guide us a little more on, to proceed with caution. But as far as bony considerations, there's not a whole lot that's pushing me away from using NSAIDs. In fact, there are some studies to suggest, at least in the animal literature, if that's what we're basing our NSAID fear on, there's animal literature to suggest that opioids actually impair bone healing and callus formation, and the fact that they lower testosterone levels as well. So there's some indication that besides the risk of addiction and death from opioids, that they may actually impair bone healing as well.
Right. And you mentioned the medical concerns. We're certainly fearful of the effects of people who are at risk for GI bleed, people who have had issues with renal function. You mentioned the bad diabetic patients. We're always trying to avoid nephrotoxic drugs with those patients. But, I couldn't agree with you more that when we look at that risk assessment and the risk benefit, certainly the risk is much smaller in this group when we think about the impact of using opioids as opposed to NSAIDs. Do you want to talk a little bit about the specific reviews that led to the basis for your thinking?
Sure. So there are a few different review articles that have come out even within the last year that are kind of a mixed bag on the literature. Again, if you look at the source articles upon which the meta-analyses were based, though, they tend to lump together outcomes of fusion, fracture, and various different regimens of opioids. But I think the take-home message, no matter which meta-analysis you look at, is that if you're using NSAIDs, and you're not using them in really high doses and not using them for really long term, that short courses of NSAIDs in reasonable clinical doses have not been shown at all in any meta-analysis or single series to increase the risk of non-union.
When you have your bad trauma patients that, you know, we know that traumatic recovery puts people at risk for GI bleeds. Do you take precautions in any way as far as GI protection, or do you treat those patients any differently than an acute fracture that doesn't necessarily have that high trauma background?
We do. And most of our multi-system trauma patients are admitted to our trauma surgical service. And, especially the really badly injured ones are in the trauma ICU, and they're all managed with GI precautions, with medications, and we're checking H&H and hemoglobin and hematocrit and making sure that these patients are not at increased risk. We're checking their renal function, making sure that they're normotensive. So, yeah, we certainly take precautions in our polytraumatized patients, as well as those geriatric patients who happen to have multiple comorbidities or GI or renal dysfunction that would put them at increased risk. We also co-manage those patients with our medical colleagues to make sure we're not putting people in harm's way.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key pieces. I think there's an opportunity for us to build upon that GI protective concept in patients who aren't necessarily level one trauma in an intensive care unit. But, you know, we also have to think about that for our patients who have had some of those other risk factors identified. You mentioned a couple of times that dialogue and that collegial relationship with the medical side. And, you know, while I get complaints on a daily basis about the electronic medical record from our docs that want to go back to being able to see more patients in a more, in their mind, more efficient manner, that really is the beauty of the electronic medical record, being able to have that immediate dialogue, being able to have immediate access to our specialty colleagues. And ultimately, I think that develops that framework where we can feel a lot more comfortable. I think we've mentioned some of the risk factors for people that we need to really be careful of as far as using NSAIDs and certainly proceeding with caution. We talked about renal patients, anybody with compromised renal function, especially folks with diabetes, people with cardiovascular disease. We want to think about that risk versus benefit profile there. People who have had previous GI bleeds, whether they be upper or lower GI bleeds. You mentioned our patients over age 65 are at an increased risk, and not all 65-year-olds are created equal. I take care of many that are in much better shape than I am, and some that are very frail, and we worry a lot more about patients who have had those big GI bleeds in the past, especially if they've been hospitalized for them and had to have a significant procedure done. We really think twice about treating those patients. But for the most part, I think it's well established now that NSAIDs are going to be a big part of our treatment paradigm for both acute and chronic musculoskeletal problems. And I think based on the literature that you've cited, we can feel confident that it's not going to put people at risk for other adverse outcomes like bone healing or developing malunions.
Yeah, I think that's very succinctly said and put that we're good to go from the orthopedic perspective on NSAIDs. And I think that unless there is great new compelling evidence that comes out in the future based on everything we currently have, we're definitely big proponents of using NSAIDs for acute musculoskeletal injuries and fractures. I think with that, then we'll wrap up this session. It's been a great discussion. Thanks once again, Kevin. And we'll summarize with our SMART goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. And I think you've heard us reiterate multiple times that NSAIDs should not be avoided as pain management based upon the available evidence for musculoskeletal injury and fracture, but that you do need to exercise caution in patient populations who are at risk for other side effects from NSAIDs. So thank you, and we hope that you join us for the additional episodes of this series.